A few weeks ago, we started on the Gospel of Luke, and we came across the purpose for which Luke wrote the whole Gospel to us, isn't it? And all that is doing now is just an outworking of what he has stated, the purpose of his writing. And the purpose, we don't have to speculate, is here in verse 4 of chapter 1, which says, I've done all these things, and if I just read the three verses to give you the context, he says this: many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seems good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that, that is the purpose clause, so that, for English teachers maybe, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught, so that the what I'm bringing to you today is to make you certain of all that you have been believing for name the many years you have been working as a Christian. All the years, and the years you are going to walk with the Lord, even as a young person, even if you began yesterday walking with the Lord, if you gave your life to Jesus Christ yesterday, or even this morning, or maybe you have been living as a, you thought you were a Christian, and suddenly the Lord just brought to your heart that, look, you need to be born again. And then you say, Lord, come into my heart, you are a believer. Well, this is what is going to happen. So Luke tells us that all that he has been doing is so that we are certain in our faith, so that we are immovable, so that we are so confident that our salvation is eternal, is no one can take it away from us. God has justified us in Christ. His work is complete and is enough. All that we need to do is to yield our life to him and to abide in him, as John in his 15th gospel would say to us, a chapter of Gospel John, of John. So our salvation is guaranteed and is certain. And you know these things, they come under who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? And so Jesus being presented to us, Jesus who can save us, who is he? You see? And why we should be so certain about this salvation, why we should be so fascinated about this faith that God gave us. You see, there was a book I read many years ago that Why We Bother with Christ or with Jesus, written by Dr. Michael Green, one of the greatest evangelists of their times. So that is why we bother, because the person of Jesus himself and our salvation, this is my first point, our salvations begin with God. And so we just didn't decide that we make our own religion or our own Jesus. Actually, for Jesus to come into this world to save us is a work of God himself. It's a work of God. It's God who has started our salvation. He orchestrated it. He designed it. He decided that he will save us because he has created us and we were lost. So our salvation begins with God. And that is why we have this great confidence, because our God is the true God, the God of heaven and the earth, the only wise God, the one who has made the whole world, the one the things we see. And now this is what happens. So it's why we say it's beginning with God. And the virgin birth is so significant. And that is why I said our talk today will be around the virgin birth, the passage of Jesus into this world. His coming into this world was designed in this way, to come through this virgin lady. And then God, this is what God has done. God sent an angel. You realize that it's God who sends the angel. It's God who just sent his messenger, really, to announce the birth of Christ. To announce the birth of Christ. It's God himself. It's not man. And here, he is just moving directly to, he sent him to a place and to a certain person that has been described 700 years ago. And you see now the fulfillment of the Old Testament coming into play here. because our salvation is with God, and He has been through years bringing us to this place. And He said this, and all that He has said is just like detailed, and you can follow that word for word. You see all His promises. You see, and that is why we can be confident that the promises of God are true, and He fulfills them. He's not afraid that someone will come and derail His plans. No. Then and now and forevermore, all that God has planned for you, you should be confident in this. God's plans. And we go around telling people God has good plans for you. Yes, indeed, if you believe these things, they will come to fulfillment. Even if they don't look like it is, like right now. That is our faith. You see? So God sent this angel, Gabriel, to a place. You see, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. You see, to a town, to a specific place. You see, and Jesus did that always. He will just say, oh, go to this town and you will find a donkey and you will just like talk to these people and you tell them this, they will ask you these questions and then you tell them this answer and then you will come. You see, everything is controlled. Everything is controlled by our God for our blessings. And why should we not believe every single word? Every iota He has said for us to believe. Even if you don't feel like that. I don't always feel good or just like joyful as I should. But that doesn't really change God's grace and mercy. And whenever you really position yourself and your heart, you open it up to Him and you say, here I am in this area, just pick me, just touch me. You will be touched. You will be changed. You will have joy. Well, God has sent the angel into this specific place. And here, this person is described as virgin. Virgin. Why people would just focus on virgin more? But also, you look back, even the prophecies in Isaiah 9 that Ernest wrote to, read to us. You see, he said, like, virgin. God will give you a miracle, will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give this child a name himself. And that is what really here being fulfilled. This virgin will have a child, and the virgin herself will give this boy a name herself. You see, as it was written in the Old Testament, is Mary will give him a name, Emmanuel, God is with us, even though here is Jesus. And the explanation says that because He will save His own people. You see? So here God fulfilling this prophecy that our Savior will come through a virgin. And that is why we cannot pick up any Jesus. That is not associated with the prophecies of the Old Testament. How would we know that this is the Jesus of God? Unless we come to find out in the scriptures that this is the seed of the woman promised in Genesis 3. And this is Jesus also promised in Isaiah 7. And this is also Jesus who is promised in Isaiah 14 and onward. And in many parts of the Old Testament. Well, this is our faith. This is Jesus we believe. And also, we have to look at these small things. So in human terms, these people that the angel is coming to tell a message from God, they would be like unexpected by world standard, isn't it? She is just a virgin. Nobody knows her, you see, but God knows her. And also Elizabeth. And you see also, because there is this element of supernatural act of God. Is God Himself doing this? Is a virgin without a man. She is only pledged to be married. She is living a holy life. And the birth of Jesus also is connected with the birth of the person who was going to come ahead of Him, John the Baptist. And also the birth of John the Baptist is supernatural. So God here is acting supernaturally to bring His Son. And that is why you see even the beginning of this text, that this passage that we are studying, begin with in the 6th month. In the 6 months. 6 months of what? 6 months of the pregnancy of Elizabeth, who was considered to be barren and old in age. A wife of this man. If we read back in chapter 1, verse 5, so Zechariah, belonging to a priestly order. You see, this man, he was a priest, and his wife Elizabeth also was coming from a priestly family, from Aaron. You see, Zechariah was coming from Abijah. That is a division in the priestly system of their time. You see, they were both advanced in age, but they were upright. The Bible says they were righteous. Both of them were upright in the sight of God. They were people communing with God. You see, and Mary herself, a virgin, keeping herself, living for the God of Israel. You see, God moving from heaven, bringing this announcement of the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. So these two people, they were unlikely by the worldly standard, but for God to demonstrate his power, that so that when we see this, we know this is only the work of God. God who will not need any help from anyone to bring about the blessings that he has intended for us. So here the angel came, and also we know, also Joseph. So you see, the text is so clear. Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph. And Joseph here is a descendant of David. And you know that Jesus Christ, here it says, he will come from the tribe of Judah, from the descendant of David. So now to be fulfilled. So when we check this, the background of our Savior, and to see his origins, so that we can have confidence in the market where people are presenting a lot of religions. And so for any religion, you need to see the background of the messenger that is claiming to have come from the God of the whole universe, lest you land it up with someone who cannot save you. And so your salvation will be jeopardized, will be in the air, as I always say. It's not guaranteed. You see, are there any a lot of religions? I met a Buddhist 2 days ago. He was, I used the library just to study and to do things. And I said, oh, look, I'm now in a hurry, but I would love to talk to you some other day. It was sounding interesting from a distance. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, are you religious? Because I want to establish a context. He said, oh, my parents were Christian, but now I'm a Buddhist. He speak like British. He got a British accent. And so you could see how he's lost in his search for certainty, for salvation, and for God. And so that I'm saying these things to you, so that you will have the confidence in your salvation, and you will know that your Savior, he has no like, he has no equal. He is truly from God, from all that we have studied in the scriptures. You see, Jesus is coming from the line of David, and that is to establish his humanity. Our Savior is God and is man. This is what theologians would call the divinity of Christ and the humanity of Christ. The Christology is so important that we know this, that our God, our Savior, is God and man. Is God, in a sense, that is the one who can put his hand on God and can put his hand on us, and to bridge the gap, to bring us to salvation to God, can bring us to God. So Jesus Christ, his humanity is established here, you see, as having come from the descendant of David. That is what Apostle Paul says in Romans 1. Romans 1 verse 5 says this. So he was introducing his gospel. He said, this gospel, God has promised himself beforehand. You see, that is the gospel he promised beforehand, that Jesus will be born. You see, in the town of Nazareth. You see, in Bethlehem, in Judea. So that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David. And so we are not just saying things that we have manifested, we created ourselves, we've designed, no. And so now you can have this confidence. So now, what happens? By human standard, it is impossible. How? You see, because here this is what the angel says. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you." That was what he was saying. She said, "The Lord is with you, and what is going to happen?" So this lady, she was will be startled. She will be really, will feel her needs. Like, what is this type of greetings? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." You see, so now here, even for her to be able to be the mother of Jesus Christ, there's no qualifications here. The Bible doesn't say that she deserved to be that. So that you don't say, "I don't deserve to be touched by God," or "God can only touch other people," you see? No, it is just by his favor. It is by his grace. It's God who favors. And he chooses to work with frail people like us. With frail people like us, like you and I. It is only by God's grace. This lady, she is only favored by God. You see? And now we don't have signs that God will only favor this person or that person. No. No, you never know. All that you need to do is to be upright with God. It's just to have a desire in your heart to honor him. Even if you are not able to do that, he will help you. Because now he's going to help this lady with unbelief. How can she handle something like this? That you are going to be with a child. And she knows that there are processes for her to have a child. No, she was told that this will be supernatural child. Our Savior is supernatural. His divinity now is coming to play. No. You have found favor. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to call him the name Jesus. You see? You will call him Jesus. And she said this, and I will come secondly to describe to you this son. But here, this is what the Lord said when responding to Mary. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin," the angel says, "the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Now, Jesus' origins as the second person of the Trinity, God, man, it's only from the Holy Spirit. His humanity is in his divinity. They qualified him fully to be our Savior, to be the Lamb of God, to be the Jesus of the Old Testament scriptures, to be the only way for all world to be saved. See, God, all the credentials to be able to save us. And so when you rely on him, you are relying on the right person that has been sent by God. He is God and he is powerful. You know his work. His work is complete. Now this is what happened. So let me follow my notes. So the recipients were unlikely. They were unlikely because they were just having some troubles. You see, why? Let me ask this question again. Why is the birth of Elizabeth was emphasized? The birth of John the Baptist was emphasized so much, and that the text that we are studying should link the birth of Jesus straight away to John the Baptist. Have you ever thought why? Well, again, God was fulfilling all that he has promised. "Comfort, comfort, comfort my people," Isaiah 40. Does that ring bell to you? Any bell? That's what you say in Australia. "Comfort, comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Speak tenderly to the lost people. Speak tenderly to people who are searching, who want to be Buddhist or Hindu. You see, speak tenderly to them and proclaim to her that her service has been completed. that her sin has been paid for. That is salvation to come. Now all her your sins are going to be dealt with once and for all. That she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, preparing the way of the Lord. That is John the Baptist. So the John the Baptist had to come first. Because he is the voice of Christ. You see here in Luke 1:15, he says that he will be great before the Lord himself. John the Baptist, he was described like that. He will be great before the Lord. Before Jesus. You see, but Jesus was not qualified. The Bible says he will be great. His greatness will have no end. You see, even he's not qualified with anything. But John's greatness is qualified. You see, he will be great before the Lord. You see, he will be great and will be, that is Jesus, isn't it? But 1:15, Luke 1:15, that is John the Baptist. He will be great in the sight of the Lord or before the Lord. Now, so that we don't miss this, he's the voice of the Lord. He's the voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he is preparing the way. He is coming. He has to be born first. And you see what happens in the visit of Mary to Elizabeth. In what she said as she was so joyful. So now we establish this, that this is our Savior. This is Jesus, that we have trust in him. And now he is described in verse 32. Our Lord Jesus Christ is described. This child, whose name is Jesus, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. Jesus will be great. Will be great in what sense? Will be great among all the ones that are claiming to be saviors of the world. He will be the greatest of all. Great in his salvation. Great in his healing. Great in his words. Great in his life. There will be no one like Jesus Christ. Even we will live, and people have lived, and forevermore. There's no one that could be compared to Jesus. He will be great. He will be great in his mercy, in his love, in his tenderness, in his righteousness, in his holiness. When he speaks to a human being, no one can come and dismantle all that he has established. He forgave a woman caught in adultery. And the Samaritan woman also, who was like fearing to come out during the time where people are coming to take water from the well. She can only come when it is very hot and no one is likely to come there. But Jesus chose to come and meet her. And she was so delivered and set free. Because anyone with shame, anyone is corrupted with sin, coming to Jesus, he will vindicate you once and for all. And no one can hold you a sinner or can put you down. Because he is great in his salvation. He is great in his work. The man who was possessed by demons, isn't it? People tried everything to take him to mental health facilities to try to cure him. They couldn't. You see, they will just bind him down. Nothing will happen. You see, so human being will try to do anything. You see, but when Jesus will touch these things, they are changed completely. You see, a man just at that pool, 38 years, Jesus came just like that. And you see why Jesus is great. He's great in his life, great in his death, even in his death. At noon, the whole universe was so dark because God was so grieved of the sins of the world. But he was dealing with the sins of the world. And his son, really, when he finished it all, the sun shone. You see, that is what happens for a sinner when you come to faith. Just before that, you live in darkness, doing bad things in secret. You see, as you come to faith, you come to the surface. you walk in the light. You see, all your dealings become really clear, godly. All the things you do, your conscience, your motivations, you will not take advantage of people. You will not be wanting to kill, you see, or even to say words that kills. You see, when you say raka to someone, you see, well, raka. That is a indigenous language. That means, like you say, someone fool. Jesus will not allow you to do this. So the Bible says he will be so great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High God. You see, this is one of the titles. And Jesus being the Son of the Most High God, that was the thing that brought him a lot of trouble. Because that marked him out. You see? Yeah. From everybody else. That's what really qualifies him to be our Lord and our Savior. The Son of the Most High God, Jesus described. He is not only be our Savior, Jesus, and also to be only the Son of the Most High God. Also, the Lord, he will be a king. He will be a king. He will be a king that in his kingdom, and his kingdom will do what? Will never end. Why his kingdom will never end? The kingdoms of the world's end. The British Empire, finished. Persian Empire, finished. Assyrian Empire, finished. Kushite, from which I come, finished. They are just a ruin now. You see, all the human kingdoms will come to nothing. But the kingdom of Jesus Christ will stand forevermore. And so if you are in his kingdom, because that was what he was saying when he first came. And that was the message. That is the only message that Jesus came to say. And that was what John the Baptist was coming to announce, that the kingdom of God is near. And Jesus, when he came, when his voice was restricted, John was put into jail. He said, Jesus emerged. He started his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And that is the kingdom that he was calling you and I into, the kingdom that will see no end. The kingdom that begins here and finish before the Lamb of God. And will finish before him. Some people really just go ahead of us to that place. Before the Lord himself. That is why Apostle Paul could be torn between departing and staying in this world. Because this kingdom, he got the glimpses of this kingdom. And you need to have this assurance that you are going to this kingdom. And to have the confidence and to have the desire to go there, if ever your faith is truly in Jesus Christ that I'm describing here as the Bible describes him. So his kingdom will see no end, because it's the kingdom of God himself. And no one can take it from him or can invade him. Also, this kingdom does not have the characteristics that bring down all the other kingdoms, isn't it? It's full of justice. The kingdom of God is full of justice. So it cannot be destroyed. Because these are the legs of true kingdoms that can stand and endure the test of sin and devil and Satan. God has all the power to preserve his kingdom, because he is God himself, and this kingdom is given to Jesus. And that is why we should be fascinated about Jesus and bother with him, and we want to surrender. I surrender all. You see, why we want to surrender all our talents, all our hearts, all our minds, all our brains, all our wealth, all our times, and everything we have. Why we want to surrender to him? Because he has just defeated us by his love and his glory and his power and his mercy and grace and favor that he has favored us. That is why we want to live as his followers now and forevermore. And whenever we are falling down, we cry out to him. He said, my blood is sufficient. Come to me, you who are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. You see, if anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink the water I give. You see, the things of this world will make you thirsty. Are you trying to assess things? now what the, how the world is going. I've met a lot of Christians. They are just so caught up with what is happening with governments and with finance and with everything. You should be caught up more about what is happening in the kingdom of God. Because he has the power. You see, even to change the things that we are seeing now, if we pray, there can be revival and the government might be trembling and we want to do the right thing. You see, so look, I think it's not only here, but I got to believe that. People are trying to fix wars and do things, but actually they won't be solved. They won't be fixed. Even peace in South Sudan or wherever or in Syria is just only when people come on their knees and surrender to Christ. You see, there, because his kingdom, when he rules people, they will be just. People will be just, isn't it? Will be loving, will be pure in hands, will not take the money. You see, I heard a conversation that they said that was taken place before Joe Biden, the president of USA. He was told that people in South Sudan didn't have salaries for 13 months. And then he said, and then what are the people are doing? Are they going to work? And then he was told that, oh, they are going to work. And he said, no, they are thieves themselves. How can you go to work for 13 months without salary and you survive? So that means you are stealing too, you see, or you live in refugee camps. You see, and depending on other people. So this kingdom is full of justice and also full of love. Full of love. You see, every human love will fail. How many relationships that are struggling is because we want to establish them based on the love that we provide ourselves. You can't do it. When God himself, when you are in this kingdom and you have the love of God flooding your heart, you will be able to love with this love. Love that is selfless, that is giving, it's not just taking, it's flooding. Yeah, I there is human element there, like the sinful nature will fight. But what I'm saying here is the kingdom of God himself is full of love. God is love. And can never collapse. World kingdom are earthly and humanly. God kingdom is eternal and is strong as the strength of God himself, who is majestic. Can we keep going? So this is the kingdom of God that we are part of. And that is what the Christmas is all about. Celebrating the birth of this great son. And if you ask me, a few days ago, I was thinking, like saying, the last 4 years, I've been thinking of the joy of the Christmas. Of the joy of the Christmas. Well, all these 4 years, if you have not come to enjoy this or experience this joy of Christmas, well, this year I changed my theme altogether to feel that the Christmas this day is a time of reckoning. As a time of repentance. Have we truly embraced Jesus? Embraced Jesus and repented of our sins and really love him? Are you born of God? Are you born again? Don't go into the next Christmas without being born again and being touched by God and having the Spirit of Jesus living in you. And if you are a believer, are you going on being filled with the Holy Spirit every day? Are you excited about this salvation that you have in Christ? Are you keeping yourself for the Lord? In speaking, in actions, in thinking, in everything, in all your practice. So Christmas this year, I want it to be a time for us to reflect on our walk with the Lord himself. Because everything with man is impossible, isn't it? But everything with God is possible. That is what Mary says when she said, how will this be? How will this be? Since I am a virgin, I am weak and I have no husband. How can I have a child without the due process of having a husband? No, she was told, this is nothing. This, you have nothing to contribute to this. The power of God will come upon you. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. see Jesus again, the Son of God, the Most High, the Son of Most High God, the King, the Great King of the Kingdom of God. You see, but she was told that God has power, and He made things even. Now this is the evidence. Even Elizabeth herself, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. That is why the text starts with the 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God. You see? So nothing is impossible with God. These are points of applications for us. Is there anything with you? You think that is impossible for God to do for you? Or maybe you don't know what even to ask from God. I sometimes feel like that. That actually I don't know how to pray and to ask of the Lord. Well, we need to begin to learn how to pray. Bless me, Lord. Especially these words, we are too righteous. We don't pray for a blessing. Bless me, Lord. Clear my way. Open the door for me. Give me a husband. Give me a wife. That is from you. You see, touch the heart of my boss. You see, let me not live under his mercy. I'm a child of God. I'm in the kingdom of God. You see, nothing is impossible with God. Pray these prayers. I want to pray these prayers myself. Give me the knowledge that I need for my heart and for my mind. Help me, Lord. There's nothing that is impossible with you. If Mary and Elizabeth could have children who were great, you see, you can do this for me. Will not be hard for you to move the boss who is so arrogant and is working against you. Or even to change the government. Do you believe that? God can give us a good government. Well, if you don't believe that, you are not in this kingdom. We need to believe these things. You see, this is supernatural, isn't it? The text I'm talking about today is supernatural. It's the work of God. And you are invited to be under this God who works things supernaturally. This is what is happening. And now let me tell you this. Our response. This lady, their response is amazing. So when God really performed this supernatural action with us, so what is our response? Always. We should say, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. You see, that was what happened with Mary. She gave herself fully to God because God was going to do something supernatural for her. And sometimes God would ask us to do something that is really beyond our abilities. And I want to leave these thoughts with you today. Has God been asking you to do something that you feel is above your abilities? And I think that is the greatest problem, the struggle of most of the Christians. I can testify to that. That is the way really we struggle. This is where really we are robbed of the joy of the Lord, we are robbed of the blessings of God because we got to that point and we retreat. Just imagine if Mary, she was so self-righteous, we want to run away, and she was, I don't want to look bad in the community, that just to be found with a child without a marriage. That is illegitimate, isn't it? Even many people have accused our Lord to be just like being born in that way. Just imagine if Mary would just run away so that she looks good. Because many of us, sometimes we want to look good before man. And we are not bothered so much about how we look before the Lord, which is the most important thing. What the Lord says about us is far more important about what everybody else says. And this is where we can receive revival and that we can be further given. You know, the revival, when it came with the people who were just believing in these supernatural things. The disciples themselves, they were unschooled, uneducated. They didn't have Monash University. They didn't have other places. And so when people saw the boldness and the wisdom with which they were turning the world upside down, they just realized that they had been with Jesus. The only thing that you need to be with Jesus to be given the wisdom and the strength and the understanding and the resilience. Do we believe this? Do you say, I am your servant? Even when you come to the Lord in prayer, I am your servant. You say that. Please work in me. Do something. So that is what Mary has said. And Mary, now we see this, for her to be given an assurance. You see, the things of God are tested. There's nothing that happens with you from God that will have no really true witness. And what is this? You see the response of Mary herself running to be given a sign. A sign that what is going to take place now is of God. Always, when God does things, you see, people will notice this. You will know this for yourself. This is the Lord, you see. It can't be a human hand. And that is what the Lord was wanting to do this here. He wanted from verse 39, he wanted to let Mary know that all that is happening now is truly from God and is happening. That is why the text begins with Elizabeth and is ending with Elizabeth. You see? Now, this is what has happened. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered the Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So just John the Baptist, even recognizing the greatness of Jesus Christ. You see what God is going to do through this. John the Baptist recognized the one he is coming to represent, because he is only a voice. You see, there is connection. The work of God is beginning to take place. God is coming into this world, and John is coming to lead the way. And a movement that began and will see no end. That is why we are here. The beginnings of the gospel. That is why the beginning, Luke tells us, this is the gospel. This is how all began. You see, and this is supernatural. It's looking like, in human terms, so simple, but has the power. You see, so this is what happened. So Mary, Elizabeth's hearing the voice of Mary, and this is what she said. She's just proclaimed a blessing. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. And she wondered why this was her. And sometimes you wonder why. I used to say this a lot to the Lord. Why you called me to the ministry? Do that. It's legitimate to say that. And I always say around and tell all the pastors and teachers of the word, I said, if you are in a calling that doesn't challenge you, you are not called by God. You are not called by God. If you think you have natural talents and skills to do this, you are lost completely. This not is working. And you see this. If Mary and Elizabeth, they were not to do qualified. They were not qualified. Let the Lord qualify you himself. Let him do it. He can do it even perfectly and greater. Will bear fruits and will be incredible. That is what is happening here. And the work of God is revealed here. So here, the virgin birth is very important for us. It is incorporated in our creed, because we are pointing to the beginning of the gospel. That is from God. I'm just rehearsing this as a way of finishing. Our salvation is from God completely. Our Savior has no equal. He's great. And his kingdom will see no end. And you can have confidence in this. And nothing is impossible with him. All your needs, you can bring them at his table. He can change governments. He can cause people to serve you. But you need to be humble when these things happen. You see? Because it's easy that you can really be caught up. You may think that you are What the Catholic call? Saint. When all of us, we are saints. So you need to be humble when God is doing these things and he does these things. I travel a lot. The only things I see is God's hand. I stand here by God's grace. I love you all by God's grace. So it's from God. And our response is needed. We need to recognize that this work is so great. And we need to say, I am the Lord's servant. And there is nothing impossible with God. All your circumstances, God cares. God sees them. He looks at you and he knows you. All that you need to delight in him. You see, these people, they were ordinary people. They were simple in their hearts. They were contrite in heart. You see, and we have been given even the assurance of salvation. The Holy Spirit lives in us, helping us. Why should we doubt that our salvation is not great? And why we take it lightly, not giving ourselves to the Lord in many ways? Why we want to hold to our human understanding and human even achievements? They are nothing compared. Because these people, they didn't have any achievement, isn't it? Mary, Elizabeth, Joseph, Zechariah. You see, they were ordinary people like you and I. But because the difference is that they were in the hand of the Most High God, who has the power and the glory and the grace to change, to take people like Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, people like you and I, and to fill them with his Holy Spirit and to make them his witnesses here on earth. That is the gospel. That is the Christmas we want to celebrate. That is why we celebrate Christmas. That is why we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Because his birth has no other birth, has no equal. I was writing a happy birthday to someone, and I said, your birthday is colliding or just like associated with the birth of Jesus. And then I just deleted that. You can't compare the birth of Jesus to any other birth. Not my birthday, not your birthday. You see? No! He's unique. Our response is that this message was to unexpected recipients, 26 to 30, chapter 1. And the kingdom of Jesus Christ is an unending, his reign is unending. And you see the joy that was in the heart of Elizabeth, celebrating all that God has done from verse 39, because she just celebrated, she just said, and she just bursted and in blessings and praises to God and prophesying. You see, she was prophesying. All. That was what she was doing. That was her heart. So now, the Christology has been established. The humanity of Jesus and his divinity, your Savior, is qualified to bring salvation to you. Have you come to him? Have you believed in him? Have you surrendered your life to him? Are you desiring to walk with him and to know him more? You see, are you excited about this? Are you excited about this? Are you fascinated about these things? All Christians can be fascinated about it. Not only those who would want to preach these words, his word to others. And what drives you? Do you know what I say with people when I talk to them? As an evangelist, road evangelist, is this message. Look at his birth. He is so unique. He's greater than all the prophets, the claimed prophets. That is Jesus. So I just want to share briefly, just like a way of saying these things. When I was studying this verse, this chapter, this verse, or this section, I was looking at the connections, connected words, now in the 6 months. And angels, after her coming, spoke to Mary. But Mary, she was saying this was very impossible. Then the angel said to her, well, the Lord is going to do something. She was affirmed that God is going to move. She was told that even Elizabeth is going to have a child. And Mary surrendered to the voice of the Lord. and said, she was saying, how can this happen? And again, she was told that God will do something. And even your relative, Elizabeth, is going to have a child. And this child also is significant because he will go before the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you believed now in the virgin birth? The virgin birth, and you believe that is amazing and is fundamental to the gospel. It's a part that you cannot escape if you are ever going to present the true Jesus of the Old Testament. Let us pray.